Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness and pedophilia, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. Speaking of which, my very special guest, Chris Spivey. Chris, do you have a website, mate?
I do, yes. www.chrisspivey.co.uk. Everything that I've been talking about on there tonight, on here tonight, is on there as well. Check it out. But get back to this our politicians being involved in paedophilia. It seems a common thing. This taking children to the House of Commons. Cyril Smith, who is dead now. The only ones who seem to be responsible for paedophilia are all dead. As soon as they die, then easy target, obviously, but try catching the live ones. That's a different kettle of fish altogether. But Cyril Smith used to take these young boys to the House of Commons and whatnot. This is what Ken Clark, Ben Fellows, has accused Ken Clark of doing. The fact that, disregarding that he was 18 at the time, Ken Clark thought he was 15. That's the all-important thing. He thought he was 15. And Ian Greer, whose office they was in when this alleged assault took place, was tied up with a fellow called Derek Lord. Derek Lord is a bit of an enigma. In so much that he's very posh spoken, acts like a lord, but he's black. Now, when he first started, because he started under Thatcher, he was a very good friend of Thatcher's. Black politicians were relatively rare. You know, although he did try to make a politician, but he never quite cut it. But he became a lobbyist anyway. He was named in 1999 in Scallywag magazine as a serious child rapist.
Whoa. Did you say Scallywag magazine?
I did, yes, indeed.
That is the most awesome sounding magazine title I have ever heard in my life.
It's defunct, actually. Another prime minister was responsible for that. John Major. They accused John Major of having an affair with someone who worked in the number 10 Downing Street kitchens. Turns out he wasn't having an affair. He sued, took him to the cleaners, but he was having an affair with Edwina Curry instead, who, incidentally, I believe that she attended Thatcher's funeral with John Major and Norman Major. I wonder if they had a conversation there about the old times.
I'm looking at your website now, Chris, and yes. Having a look at this. Is this Prince Charles the other who murdered Mountbatten photo, or who is that guy?
Mountbatten was he was the great-grandson of Queen Victoria, an uncle to Prince Philip, who I call the Duck. I say he was a predatory paedophile. He was last viceroy of India, where he used to rape little Indian children. From there, he moved on to the Kinkora boys' home in Ireland, in Belfast. Now, according to Greg Hallett, he's from your part of the world. You know Greg Hallett?
Yeah, I've met Greg a couple of times.
Yeah, well, according to Greg Hallett, he was killed on the orders of the Duck, or Prince Philip, because of the heroin dealing. Erin Eve, who another politician who was blown up. He was supposedly got at Mountbatten and was going to expose this heroin dealing ring. And we're talking about a major international ring. Let's not make any bones about this, Vinny. They're all involved in heroin dealing. You take Afghanistan. There is more heroin coming out of Afghanistan now than ever before. Now, when we invaded Afghanistan, the UK was given the task of supposedly changing the poppy farmers' crops, you know, giving them financial incentives to grow sort of legal crops and whatnot. And they was going to destroy all these poppy fields. Now, with the technology that they have, you can't tell me that they can't find these poppy fields. They can listen to a man, you know, from space. They can listen to a man on his mobile phone conversation, pinpoint a man, but they can't find all these acres of poppy fields, which, and there's more heroin now coming out of Afghanistan than... Go on.
They can't find these poppy fields with that their troops are guarding.
Yeah, exactly. That's the ones. You know the ones.
Mate,
yeah.
I can't find it. Where is it? We're supposed to be guarding. Is it that one or is it the neighbour's one? I don't know.
I can find them on Google Earth, mate. You know, so... So with their kind of technology, but apparently they can't find them. But the government and the royal family are all involved because it is a £1 billion industry, you know. And it's hoping to pay the interest on this fraudulent debt as well, keep the country afloat, like they do. Anyway, apparently the IRA officially... blew man back up on his fishing boat. One man, Thomas McMahon, who carried this 50-pound bomb onto this royal fishing boat, planted it, got arrested that same night, and but someone else detonated the bomb, blew him to bits. According to Greg Hallett, it was on the orders of Prince Philip. Because he was going to talk to this Evan Eve and they were going to expose, but whether that's true or not, I don't know of any. But he was a predatory paedophile, as I say. He was having a relationship with Edward VIII, the king who abdicated, married Wally Simpson. Well, Edward VIII was a cross-dresser anyway. The Queen Mother was hopelessly in love with him. Incidentally, Bill Mahoney of Pymash Films, he stood on the steps of Trafalgar Square and publicly called the Queen Mother a paedophile. And wasn't arrested for it. She was alive at the time, you know. So you draw your. I printed an article the other day. Actually, I found on when she used to have these dinner parties. And then she'd make her guests sort of run around the living, making out they was horses in a horse race, you know. She'd whip them. Anyway, this woman who supposedly married the Queen's dad was hopelessly in love with Edward VIII, who, as you know, married the old slapper Wally Simpson. And she was a right old slapper. Let's not make any bones about that. And she sort of supposedly never got over it. The official story is that she hated this Wally Simpson so much because her husband had become king and whatnot, and he wasn't up to it. He had a very low IQ, actually. Take no notes of that film, the King's Speech, a lot of propaganda that is. But she was hopelessly in love with Edward, who, I say, was a cross-dresser, had an affair with this Mountbatten, his cousin. Now, Mountbatten was the uncle, proper uncle, to Prince Philip, whose last name is Mountbatten as well. And from there, from abusing him, he then moved on to Prince Charles with Prince Philip and the Queen's blessing, so to speak, you know. I say, well, like we said earlier on, that's the way they, to them it's normal. To them it's normal. People just can't see that, they can't understand it. And this is the danger of any SA, because people are so closed-minded and unwilling to believe. They wave their little flags like, oh, the Queen, she's great, she's great, she's great, she's not great at all, mate. She will be our downfall. And if people don't wake up very, very quickly, we're all going to be in a lot of trouble. And that is the be-all and end-all, mate. That is the bottom line. But as it stands at the moment, people are waking up, but they're not waking up quick enough, any. And things are moving very fast now, very fast. You know, we've got all this, the new bedroom tax coming in, so anybody who's living in out of work, who have two bedrooms and they're only a couple, they're not being, their benefits are being cut, which benefits are a minimum anyway, although there's a propaganda mission going on in the mainstream media at the moment to sort of vilify them, you know, make out that they're having it off at everybody's expense, which is totally, totally bollocks, you know, total bollocks. But they're cutting their money. I believe that if you're unemployed, you have to go for something like five jobs a week. Well, just last week, Ian Duncan Smith, our health secretary, was interviewed on radio, and he came unstuck because there was like eight people wanted a coffee shop, and 1,700 people applied for it for minimum wage. You know, incidentally, they've just increased the minimum wage by 12 pence an hour. Gives you £4.80 extra a week to slog your bollocks out. And and the Queen was advertising for a gardener, funny enough, working out all hours, had to have a diploma in gardening or whatever. And she was paying something like 10 pence above the minimum wage. Whoever got that job would have still needed benefits, or would have been still entitled to benefits to top up the wage. And that's the richest woman in the world, you know, paying peanuts for a head gardener, you know, which is just a total piss take, mate. A total piss. She knows that whoever took that job would be dependent on a top-up benefit. Yeah, and yet she's still, that is the money she was paying. How can you justify that? You know, how can she be gracious or noble or when she can't even pay her staff a living wage? You know, and I say benefits are being cut at the rate of knots. And once the poor, we do have children starving in this country, make no mistake about that either. People are committing suicide. Just a couple of days ago, a fellow who'd had a stroke, partially paralysed, he was taken off the incapacity benefit, deemed fit for work, shot himself because his benefits were stopped, because they have the power now. And it's also been proved that the staff at the job centres are paid to sanction people. So you have ordinary staff deciding who eats for the week and who doesn't eat for the week, which is absolutely disgraceful, you know. And this benefits at an appointment.
The reason why, Chris, that I've decided to never, ever apply for any kind of government benefit ever again. Well, one of the reasons anyway.
I don't know how your benefits sort of go, I say, but we've got absolutely stupid newspaper reports about people buying, like, Versace clothes, designer gear, and sending their children to private school. And, you know, there's three or four of them stories on my site, which I've absolutely taken apart, and they're so easy to take apart, Vinny. You know, it's you don't even have to work it. Anyone with who can add two and two. Can sort of like, the figures don't work, but people believe it, and you've got this it's almost replaced racism over here. Anyone who's not working is a scrounging, no good, want something for nothing, having it off, drug addicts, which just isn't true.
What I love is when, you know, I'm a professional protester and radio broadcaster and derive my income out of doing this, right? And then when I do protests outside, you know, megaphoning on the side of the street or whatever, you have people who drive past and this is their political engagement for the year. Get a job!
Exactly. Do you know, and you can get a job. Well, people would work if, you know, eight people, 1,700 applicants, for minimum wage as a waitress in a coffee shop. That's the kind of job market at the moment. And even when you got a job, and they're saying that people on unemployment benefit are better off not working. Well, supposedly now we've had the benefits change, so no one can be better off on welfare than they are working. Yet when the minimum wage was introduced and everything, and free childcare and blah, 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 no one was going to be worse off by working, which it was just bollocks, as has been proved. But why would anybody go to work and slog their bollocks out 40 hours a week in all weathers, you know, when they can get the same money? Well, that's another thing. You know, our job centre is now advertising young people 40 hours a week, stacking shelves, whatnot. No money. No wages. You just keep your benefits. So what's the point of the minimum wage? Now, if a firm can take on someone to stack their shelves for them, then they can afford to pay them a wage if the job's there. But it's the same. I mean, community service. When someone commits an offence, goes to court, they get community service. They have to work for nothing. They still get their benefits, obviously, and they work for nothing. So what you've basically got is you've got now people being punished for being unemployed, although there are no jobs.
Now, see, I think that volunteer work is highly valued in the community, you know, man in a soup kitchen or helping to, I don't know, helping the local council workers do the gardens or something like that. Or planting
that's
some...
what our criminals do, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, we're talking about big corporations, Vinny. There's been a couple pulled out, but it's these big corporations are queuing up to take these people who work for nothing for 6 months, and it's supposedly voluntarily on a volunteer basis. But that's not true.
Let me stop you there. It's a volunteer basis, or we cut your benefit off.
Exactly. That is exactly it. Now, we had Ian Duncan Smith, Ian Dighead Smith, on the radio the other day saying, people are saying how much they value this chance for this job work. Yet, it's just been to court. It's been to court for breaching people. So if they value this work experience, why is it going to court? Why are people up in arms? And I say, we've got a ludicrous situation where people are in social housing. Margaret Thatcher sold all the council houses off back in the 80s. A lot of people got rich out of them. And now there's no housing in the country, you know? So all these people who've sort of been in their homes, their housing association homes as they are now, for the past 30 years or whatever, and their children have left home now, they're finding themselves forced to move out, yet there is no available housing, one-bedroom housing, to move into. So what do they do? So their benefits get cut.
Yeah, I guess they'll have to join the Occupy movement and live in a tent. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com with Chris Spivey, chrisspivey.co.uk. Ooh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're jamming a big monkey wrench into the paedophile network of the United Kingdom with my very special guest, Chris Spivey. Maybe jamming a big monkey wrench into the paedophile network is actually a bit of a nasty image for this late at night for you, Chris. Sorry about that.
That's all right, Vinnie. Can I just get back to this benefits thing, because it is important. we've got a situation where you've got children going hungry, job centre staff deciding who eats and who doesn't eat for the week. You have disabled people committing suicide. And this isn't an isolated case, this fellow who shot himself, blew his brains out all over the front lawn. Far from an isolated case. And on top of that, there's no jobs, eight vacancies, 1,700 applicants, minimum wage. Yet we're paying £60,000 a week to subsidise the House of Lords canteen. You know, we're paying we can't afford to eat ourselves. Yet we're paying £60,000 week in, week out to pay for. And they're all paedophiles. They are all paedophiles, mate. I can connect sleeves to every single one of the 760 lords and the 650 MPs in Parliament. Some sort of sleeves, either be it fiddling their expenses. Yet people are losing their homes, and we're paying their mortgages on their second house. You know, the poorest people in society, they don't pay their TV licence. They're up in court. Yet we're paying for the MPs' TV licences. What other job could you get where someone paid for your second home, and let, you know, and paid for your TV licence, paid for your expenses? We had our Chancellor, George Osborne, bought a standard class rail ticket, sat in first class, got caught, big thing in the papers over here, got caught, refused to budge. Well, why didn't he just buy a first class ticket? Because they're not allowed to. They're not allowed to. But he thought he had the right to travel first class on a standard fare ticket. Do you know, they just don't live in the real world, mate. They don't. Yeah, this is a man who, I mean, 2005 it was exposed for taking cocaine with a prostitute. It came out all okay with him, but and because of a man called Andy Coulson, who went on to work for the Prime Minister, who George Osborne apparently recommended him. Now, this Andy Coulson's up in court for the phone hacking scandal that's happened over here, where we were hacking into everybody's phones with Rebecca Brooks. So, now, it was also coming to paper that Cameron and Rebecca Brooks was sending each other lovey-dovey text messages, you know, and the furtive look and whatnot. You know. And it's just 100% said, but they don't realise, or people don't realise, should I say, what these people are doing to them. You know, so far the middle classes have been relatively untouched. It's all the poorer people who are a lot more aware of what is going on around them. But there's this fear, and this is what I tell people in my blogs all the time, Vinny. You know, what are you scared of? What are you scared of? You know, what is going to happen? Oh, you know, I've seen so many times this fellow's going to meet an accident. This fellow. Well, I'm still here. I'm still here, mate. And I've named people. I named Rolf Harris 5 months ago, and I've repeatedly named. You look on my website there. There's five or six articles on him. The Montford galleries who he's working for, they're absolutely shitting themselves that this was going to come out, but, and it has come out yesterday. It came out in the mainstream media. But I was contacted by one of their artists, and the official line that because he is their biggest asset, and they're fine about going under. Well, I don't know how they're going to get on now with being named and that. But people are just so scared. There's this climate of fear, and I'm going, what are they going to do with? What are they going to do to you? We're not living. We're existing over here, and it's getting worse and worse, and people can't see it. And the clap, you know, we just had Cyprus where they've taken the people. That's going to happen over here. You know, people don't keep your money in the bank, people, because they're going to take
it. The New Zealand government is saying, hey, what they did in Cyprus was a great idea. Let's start trying it here. You know, already announced it, like, on the same day, pretty much.
It's robbery. It's just out-and-out robbery, Vinny.
And here's the point. You know, people are like worried, oh, what if they put me in jail or something like that?
Exactly.
Right, what if they execute you later on because you didn't do anything?
Exactly. And this is what, and it is this sort of the Nazi, the Third Reich mentality, you know, say nothing, keep in the shadows, go along with what everybody thinks, and that is going to be our downfall, mate. It is going to be our downfall, because if people do not start waking up very quickly, they're going to be in a lot of trouble. Already, there's children starving in this country. There's the secret courts. They're stealing children. Yesterday, the NSPCC, who I was talking about, who employed the MK terrorist, the mass murderer, as a grief counsellor, who is incidentally still a councillor today and was still registered with the General Social Care Council, because they have to re-register. All social workers have to re-register every 2 years. Yet he's still being employed, even though he originally fraudulently registered with the managers of the NSPCC helping him to register. Do you know? And I say, but they've been in the paper again today, saying that half a million kids are being abused in their homes. Well, they get money from the Bean government to investigate these cases. So if they know there's half a million children being abused in their homes, why aren't they investigating it, Anthony? Why are they just saying, like, you know, oh, it's not good, but we need more powers. We need... What they're saying by need more powers is what they mean is that they want to be able to take children away from the pet before they're even in the world. I've had friends had to flee to Ireland, who have never been convicted of an offence, never even been to court. Didn't go to court, get found not guilty, never even taken to court, had their children taken off, had to flee to Ireland, and we're sort of 5 years later, they flew to Ireland on the advice of an MP over here who supposedly campaigns, but I don't listen to it because they've all bent. The whole lot, the whole 650, mate, they might call themselves campaigning MPs, but all they've got is their own welfare at heart. Under his advice, they flew to Southern Ireland, and they still had the child taken off of them, even though they have never been convicted of any offence. There's no evidence to say that their children were abused, and still 5 years later, the case is still ongoing, Vinny. You know, how can that be right? And they tell you for the good of your child. How can that be? The child now, lives with foster parents, visits the parents every week. That's got to screw the child up, mate. So how can they say they're doing it for the welfare of the child? 5 years later, they're bent over backwards to do all the assessments and everything. And it's not the Irish social services who are being awkward. It is the pressure they're getting from the British social services. And the British social service, they are corrupt as they come, mate, and they are stealing children. And anybody who thinks, well, there's no smoke without fire, I can tell you that there's a lot of smoke and there's a lot of fire, and they are being taken illegally, and they are being taken, and they are being abused in care.
Now, I had heard that in the UK, about 100,000 children per year go missing or something like that?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah, but you know where they go, Vinny, don't you? You know where they don't go missing. They don't go, they're abused by the elites. They're digging up bodies on the Queen's estate. And if you dig up a body, if someone dug up a body in my back garden, they come knocking at my door. They can dig them up on the Sandringham estate and totally ignore the Queen and the duck. Well, no one, we're a sovereign country, no one is supposedly above the law. And like I say, why haven't the police investigating Savile? Why haven't they been knocking on the palace door? Because all the evidence points to them being involved in paedophilia. And I say there's no other reason. I say, go back to Derek Lord, the lobbyist, who's now fled to South Africa because of my expose of him, who was originally named in Scallywag magazine. He was invited to Cameron's wedding, okay? And on my website, again, there's exactly the wording of the invitation, and it's Derek Lord saying how thrilled he was. He'd been a long-time friend of Samantha Cameron's. Samantha Cameron isn't what she seems. She was good friends with the rapper Tricky from Massive Attack, drug dealer. Very good friends with him. But she makes out she's all his mumbly types, but that's a load of old bollocks. But no one will take the bull by the horns, if you like, and because they're all in it together, mate. They are all in it together, you know. And you think, well, why was Savile so in with the royal family? Well, because, do you know Jimmy Savile? You must know Jimmy Savile.
I heard of him. Wasn't he in the news recently?
This is where all this paedophilia stuff has come from. Now, David Icke named Jimmy Savile as a paedophile. I believe he was the first, but he named Savile as a paedophile and a necrophiliac back in the 90s. when he named Ted Heath, the former Prime Minister, who I said was blackmailed into taking the country into the EU, or the common market, as it was then. And no one sued. He also named George Bush Sr. As a serial paedophile, child abuser and whatnot.
Apparently, old Daddy Bush likes to shoot up heroin while he's doing stuff to the kids.
Who? Daddy Bush.
Daddy Bush, you know, H.W. Bush.
Yeah, I know H.W. Bush. I mean, there's stories of Bush Jr., George W. I don't know what the W stands for.
It stands for Walker.
Oh, is it? Oh, it's Walker, is it? Yeah. I weren't sure. Someone told me it was Wanker, but I don't know. But him and Blair, apparently.
You'd be forgiven for that mistake, but go on.
I think it's more accurate than Walker anyway, mate. I mean, that man stood on top of the ruins of 9/11, stood on top and said, you're either with us or against us, on top of the ruin of the people that they had killed there without...
We kill and enslave our own people. You're either with us or against us.
Exactly. let us not... Was it that Obama said? Who's gay, by the way? There's a whole thing on my website about that. But was it... Let us not tolerate conspiracy theorists. Well, there's the old saying... You know, the conspiracy theories are actually the conspiracy facts, you know, and it is the government. I mean, the whole 9/11 thing, it was a pantomime, fairy tale, you know. Planes flying into steel column towers and the heat of the jet fuel that burns 1,000 degrees below what's needed melted the steel. And brought them down. Never mind all the asbestos in there that they was going to be condemned because they didn't meet the safety regulations anyway.
Fireproof asbestos, mind you.
Hey?
Fireproof asbestos, mind
you. Yeah, exactly. Which didn't meet the regulations, so, and it wasn't cost effective to replace.
A friend of mine, her sister has a big contracting company here, and she told her that she went to New York to do a bid on the World Trade Center for asbestos removal. And the reason why they were doing asbestos removal, or at least trying to pitch for the contract, is because the owners of the World Trade Center wanted to do controlled demolition for it, but the EPA said it would be illegal because all the dust from the... asbestos would have had major health effects on everybody in New York City.
Exactly. They were condemned for it. The buildings was good because the new regulations that came in didn't the asbestos levels were too high. They didn't meet the safety standards. So I say that they had the choice. And Larry Silverstein knew this when he bought the towers. Larry Silverstein sort of went from a relatively rich man to a multi-billionaire just on the strength of the Twin Towers, you know? He bought them knowing
thank
that they was condemned.
Thank God for that double terrorism insurance, eh?
Yeah, it was, wasn't it just? Thank God for them 19 who didn't die in that inferno that melted the steel that bore down the towers in their own footprint, mate, at full speed.
They must have been eating really, really spicy Arabian meals before getting on the plane, just so that the content of their stomachs, while engulfed in flame, would set all the
exactly. And then mobile phones, the conversations on the mobile phones, you know, let's roll and whatnot. I'm surprised John Wayne wasn't on that plane, to be honest with you, mate. We had a program over here, 9/11 road trip, where they was dropping eggs onto the floor to demonstrate, you know, demonstrate how the plane sort of hit this Pennsylvanian field, and there's no wreckage. Well, apparently it tunneled itself 40 foot into the ground, you know, and you just think, do what?
It's just retarded. We'll be right back after the break with Chris Spivey, chrisspivey.co.uk. Back in a minute. Yeah. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's my final segment here with the surprisingly wonderful Chris Spivey, who has a lot of very interesting commentary on the nasty, evil pedophile ring that is running the UK and pretty much the whole world. I've looked into a number of activists' claims over here in New Zealand about the pedophile rings operating within child, youth and family services, you know, our equivalent of the CPS in the States is the same thing. This pedophile network is global, and there is a shockingly large amount of money involved here, like huge, unbelievable. They have massive, massive reasons, billions of reasons, I'd probably say, to keep all this hush-hush entirely. Because if anything really rises to prominence that, gives the dumbed-down general public an inkling that there really is something massive going on here, whew, imagine the possible potential consequences.
The thing is, Vinny, I got sent a story last year, actually, from a fellow who's from New Zealand, and he fled to England from New Zealand. What it was, his 14-year-old daughter was being abused by these two St. John's ambulance men. I don't know if you're familiar with this story or not. It did make all the papers over in your part of the world. Rather than prosecute these two St. John's ambulance, who was joined by a third, although only the two abused this 14-year-old girl, they had the family was hounded out of Australia, you know, and they're living in England now. And I say I run the story on in my article about paedophile politicians, and. These two St. John's ambulance men, they're receiving the Queen's Award, our Queen, you know, by the Governor General of the New Zealand. And I don't know whether they actually got the award in the end. As far as I know, they did, but it was a big hoo-ha. But in your social services, instead of prosecuting these two St. John's ambulance, they said this 14-year-old girl has to be allowed to explore her sexuality. 14, having a threesome with two St. John's ambulance men, you know? And in fact, you'd be surprised how much your part of the world gets mentioned over here. Wasn't Madeleine McCann supposedly spotted in New Zealand the other week?
I don't know who that is.
You don't know who Madeleine McCann is?
No.
Madeleine McCann was a little girl who from a British family. Prince Charles is involved in that as well, believe it or not. And they went on holiday to Portugal. And they left Madeleine and her little sister in their chalet while they joined their friends for dinner on this complex. Supposedly someone broke into the chalet there and she hasn't been seen since. Although sniffer dogs sniffed out that there'd been a body in the boot of their car and whatnot. But Prince Charles is involved in that as well, and high, powerful spokesman, and the Freemasons, and Leicestershire police force. Every single police force in the country is corrupt. South Yorkshire police, we talked about 7-7 earlier, Vinny. A fellow who was intelligence for South Yorkshire police told them that, told the big wigs at South Yorkshire police that it was an inside job. And he cost him his job, you know. You got the North Yorkshire and West Yorkshire police covering up for this Jimmy Savile, friend to royalty. The police investigation into Savile is called Operation Yew Tree. Okay. It's a clear whitewash, I say, if all the articles there on my site, go on, yeah.
What I find funny is the policeman saying that 7-7 was an inside job, and as a result of saying something's an inside job, then he's out of the job.
This wasn't an ordinary police. This was their intelligence officer. He said, I've read his report, Favreau's name is, he says when he was compiling this report, he didn't know whether he should go with it or not, because he said all the evidence pointed to the British government and security services of carrying out this job. And he said, my conscience wouldn't let me not. So he submitted the report knowing that he was going to get him fired. But I say, this isn't like your beat officer. All our beat officers, all they do is drink and drive and whatnot and mug people and whatnot. In fact, under Operation Orr, the police investigation into internet paedophiles, you'd be surprised. The top three professions are judges, teachers, and policemen who were picked up. And then you're obviously the politicians, but we've only got 650 of them nonsense.
Well, that seems like a position of power abuse, essentially.
A judge can
use his power, police can use their power, teachers can use their power, loud them over the kids, you know, that kind of thing.
The thing is, Vinny, 30 years ago in this country, if you saw a policeman on the beat, he'd be on his own, he'd stop. Not me, but 30 years ago, I was only a little lad. But, a woman said, have you got the time? How do you get to such and such? And he was a reassuring presence on the streets. You know, so it's 30 or 40 years ago. Now, you never see a policeman on their own. They're all done up there in their combat gear, like, you know, their battle fatigues, utility boots that Batman would be jealous of. And they're sinister. And even when you've done nothing wrong, your first reaction to seeing these is get out, move, even though you've done nothing wrong. Because and people constantly used to be the police cars were white, and now we've got black, sinister like Batmobiles over it, you know, and everything about them they can't arrest anybody. When I was tattooing a shop in a place called Shoeburyness, a seaside town in Essex, across the road from that, there was one of these special unit schools for children up to 12 years of age. You know, problem children. Now, to me, I don't know how you can have a problem child at 12 o'clock, at 12 years old, but you do. But the police were there all the time, and they come out, and there'd be two of these policemen done up in their battle gear, and wrestling this little kid who you think, well, what could he do? You know, to the floor and pinning him down, and I'm thinking, a lot of times, I mean, they go and say, "Whoa, calm it down, right? Calm it down." The kid was a midget, and I say, "Yeah, no doubt they are little bastards because you can't get away with anything in schools now. The kids know they're right, so they know that the teachers can't touch them and." It has taken the respect away. I mean, I brought up my daughter since she was 6 months old on my own. And so I used to go to, all the teach of the open days and whatnot. And you'd have the headmaster serving the kids drinks. I thought, blimey, that's changed since I was at school. It used to be like the kids serving the headmaster. I'm not saying the discipline. It's just that the kids know what they can get away with. But I do not personally see how you cannot control a 12-year-old child, or 11, 12-year-old child, without having to resort to policemen bringing him out with his arms shoved up his back and kneeling him on black in the back when he's on the floor. And they are just bully boys. I say that. They can't arrest anybody on their own. They can't. But they don't. I mean, there's a couple of videos on YouTube. One in particular by a fellow called Darren Pollard, who's an independent filmmaker over here, and it went viral. I don't know if you've seen the video, but it was a male and a female copper walking on the road, and Darren Pollard was filming them. So they've just walked onto his land and said, oh, stop filming, what's your name? And he said, I'm not telling you, Allah, you know, I'm quite entitled, I'm a filmmaker, I know the law. And they're going, no, it's against the law. So the male coppers turn around, he's giving it all out over his radio, find out what we can do. And the female officer is antagonising the fella, trying to wind him up. And he said, I'm not going to bite. I'm not going to give you any excuse. But she was trying to wind him up. And for a police officer, to quote a law that isn't a law is illegal. Yeah, they do. They do. Then when it finally comes that Darren Pollard was right, he quite entitled to film whoever he wants on his own property. Just walked off, never said goodbye, nothing. And that is the whole attitude of the police these days. They are a law. They're just bully boys, mate. They're bully boys.
Mm. They're basically like, hey, we're gods. In New Zealand, we just passed a law, what's her name, Justice Sinister Judith Collins here, passed a law that said that if you assault a police officer, even if they're off duty, even if they started the fight, it counts as assaulting an officer.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and they believe they're unpressed, mate. In theory, a policeman is there to protect and serve, but they're not. They're just... When they qualify as policemen from the police cadet training school, they have to swear an oath to uphold the common law. They don't even know the difference between common law and statute law anyway, mate, you know, which is obvious.
Well, unfortunately, Chris, we've run out of time here, mate, unfortunately. If you want to go check out his articles and his very well put together website, if I may say so, chrisspivey.co.uk is the website. And ladies and gentlemen, if you could please donate or subscribe to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, we're in a bit of financial trouble at the moment. Really appreciate your support. See you again.